Hello, welcome to the 7th episode of the Dragon's Pen podcast about fantasy writing, sci-fi writing, and other genre-specific writing. My name is Martin, I'm a fantasy writer myself, and I have spent years attending and leading workshops working with aspiring writers to help them understand how to improve their texts. I thought I might share my experience and give you some advice on how to develop your worlds, build your stories and characters, and help you write your fantasy or sci-fi saga. So, let's get to it. Today's episode name is You Are the One, Generic Character. You might have guessed I will be talking about characters in writing. However, not so much about character development and how to handle your character in your text, not yet at least. I will be talking mostly about the very first step, how to create your character, mainly how to create the main character, the hero of your book. Problems I have encountered so many times with the texts of aspiring authors can be tracked down to mishandling or rather miscreating their main character. Why is that? It might sound a bit counterintuitive, but creating and fitting main character into your story for your sci-fi or fantasy saga is actually harder than it looks. It needs to be captivating, original, it needs to fit the story, and it needs to be the most important part of this particular story. And this is pretty much just the tip of the iceberg of the criteria this non-existent being needs to fulfill. Where do these criteria come from, you ask? Well, some of them are very well documented as archetypes or sort of best practices in creative writing. But they are somehow abstract and don't really take shape until you really get your character moving and speaking. Not to mention the fact, many of these can be intentionally broken for the sake of originality, pacing, shock, a number of reasons really. Some of these don't actually even work that well in contemporary literature setting. Like the archetype of Superman, let's say, the Mr. Goody Two-Shoes always on the right side of the good. Well, good luck trying to make that work. I mean, you can, of course, but it is going to be way harder to make this character interesting in a rows of Punishers and Wolverines and Han Solos and Geralts and other anti-hero types. These lawful good, if I may reach into my D&D dictionary, characters tend to get very predictable and boring unless handled very carefully and with focus intention, or end up painfully artificial. So how do you pick a character that really pops? Well, it is really hard to pick anything if you don't know what it is that really fits. Think of it as a puzzle. You always start with the corners or the sides of the puzzle because it provides you with some sort of common thing you can lean on. So to create a character that works best for your story, you really need to actually start with, you guessed it, the story itself. Okay, you might think, but I have this wonderful, awesome character concept, you know, a fallen angel that lives as an IT guy, basically hacking the world a better place. So he was created as a... You know, the problem with this kind of solitary characters in the confines of your head and your mind is that unless you give the character something interesting to do in your text, it is pretty much, it tends to stay interesting only inside your head. Unless you provide a reader with situation where you can show characters, let's say, heavenly origin, a moment to show their IT skill in action and how they actually ended up being an IT guy in the first place, you can't really show the depth of your character to your reader. This is a situation I often encounter with aspiring authors, even when they do come up with a decent or maybe even strong main character, it does not really translate through the text to the reader. Yes, obviously, part of it is the skill of writing itself, but mostly it is because the character does not really have a proper setting or story to shine in. It is like the main character is sort of guest in their own story. Like, let's say, if Indiana Jones went on a space adventure as a part of the Apollo 13 crew. You know, the Tom Hanks movie where their ship breaks pretty much right after they start? Imagine Indiana Jones in this situation. He would be utterly useless. What would he do? I mean, you know, whip them back to safety of the Earth? Or uncover an ancient secret message in the NASA operating system? I mean, don't get me wrong, it would be a lot of fun to watch just out of sheer audacity of such crossover. But Indiana Jones would not be the best main character for the Apollo 13 story. Though it might be a lot of fun to watch with Forrest Gump instead of Jim Lovell in the lead. Anyway, a lot of aspiring authors sort of create their character before they create a part in their story for this particular character. And I don't necessarily mean that's a bad thing. There are plenty of discovery writers out there that start off just like that and end up creating a wonderful story. But even with discovery writing, a certain degree of understanding is required. Sort of need to know the lay of the land before you start. So let's take a second look at Indiana Jones and the writers of the Houston We Have a Problem. If you think about it, Indiana Jones is actually a pretty fitting character for the story if you peel off some stuff. The adventurous archaeologist does not really work, but if you look at Indiana Jones as a person, he's intelligent, well-educated, courageous, a bit of a ladies' man, and very resourceful. He'd actually be a great candidate for an astronaut. So the whole joke about Indiana Jones in space suddenly kind of turns on his head. What if Indiana, instead of studying history, chose a different major, let's say astrophysics or engineering? All of a sudden, he is actually a very good fit for the Apollo 13 story, plus his adventurous spirit could provide a bit of conflict by the story locking him up in a tiny, confined space with nothing to do and forcing him to rely so much on Houston and their solutions. All this means you can probably jump into writing with just an idea of your main character, but you need to open yourself to discovering your character along with discovering your story. And that's pretty much it. Okay, but I haven't really answered my question here. How do you make your character fit all the criteria, and how do you actually specify all the criteria you need for this character? Yes, I talked about some of these criteria being set by writing as an art form itself, and some basic storytelling principles. But where does the rest of these criteria come from? Like, how do I know I need an astrophysicist Indiana Jones instead of an archaeologist one? Well, you know, it's pretty simple in this example. It is defined by the character's story. What is the situation? What is the direction of the story? What is the story you are trying to tell? Answering these questions, even on a very high level, can give you all the criteria you need for your character to really fit. More often than not, aspiring authors kind of skip this step. The main character is the main character simply because of their past, their name, or some sort of family heirloom. The very common example I have encountered a lot of times is the so customary ancient prophecy. You are the chosen one, nobody else but you can save the world. Well, okay, I'm a fantastic gardener, so will my gardening background help in any way? No, I mean, not really, just grab a sword and let's go save the world. This sort of thing happens very often in texts of aspiring authors. I even saw an example in which the main character was built by honest to god D&D randomizer. And by saw, I mean did. I did that once. But come on, I can't be the only one, right? Right? Anyway, there are two issues with this approach. First one is pretty obvious. By making your character the one, you kind of skip over a lot of important criteria the main character needs to meet. There is a huge difference between making the character D1 in your world and making your character D1 in your story. Think of it this way. Okay, you might have the most powerful mage of your world, born of ancient prophecies with good-hearted, approach wielding the most powerful magic known to man. And by all intents and purposes, the mage is the one. Then you have a farmer who never left their farm, doesn't know anything about magic, and is, you know, kind of a coward. This farmer is an absolute nobody. Now, your story is about, let's say, farm animals dying of mysterious disease because of an ancient evil hidden underground, awakened by an ancient prophecy. So, which one of these characters would you choose for the story? They actually both kind of fit, don't they? I mean, an ancient evil prophecy, it kind of sounds like a job for the one, right? The most powerful human being in the world. On the other hand, you can probably build a story with the farmer as your main character, right? I mean, so which one do you pick? I mean, you know, it really depends on the story you are trying to write. Let's say the story is about an awesome mage that falls from grace when the evil shows the mage the darkest parts of their mind. Now, all the power of this mage is pretty useless and they have to learn to fend differently, you know, maybe rely on help from their friends, maybe even their enemies. Or maybe you want to stick with the common zero to hero idea. The cowardly farmer embarks on a treacherous journey to get help from the mage, you know, and he learns how to be more worldly and courageous and resourceful. And even though the mage rejects the farmer's plea for help, the farmer is now ready to face off the evil themselves and can even manage to defeat it. So the one in your world would not fit the zero to hero storyline. The mage may very well be the one in the world, but not the one in the story. By making the character the one in the world, you don't necessarily make it the most important character in your story. Let's try and work with the example from the previous episodes. Our teenage hero Alex with a mysterious mark on his skin, the descendant of an ancient race of powerful warriors, is an orphan whose home village is attacked by minions of evil, and he alone can defeat it, eventually. He saves his life and life of his teenage crush, Brianna. They both run away from the slaughter to pursue their new fate. Obviously, we can build an epic saga with Alex as the main character, gradually discovering his heritage and becoming the hero the world needs to defeat the ancient evil. Or maybe we want a woman empowerment story instead. I mean, there have been plenty of stories about Alexes of all shapes and colors and forms. The Wheel of Time, Star Wars, Aragorn, Harry Potter, just to name a few. I mean, yeah, there are differences, but generally, the Alex character alters their dreams, hopes, their life to be the hero the world needs them to be and save everyone. But what about Brianna's of these stories? They might end up doing the same thing, just in a different way. Maybe instead of an epic saga with Alex slowly rising from nobody to all-powerful hero, we can have an epic story of Brianna. She does not have to be the one to be the good main character. I mean, think about it. You know, after the village massacre, she can probably still have a good life, in a way. Maybe she'll find her, you know, mother's sister a few villages away and stays with her. She can now find a good man, slowly recover from the tragic loss, move on with her life and have a family, you know, on her own, and kind of put the whole terrible massacre at her home village behind her, and just, you know, not take any part in this saving the world business. But there is this boy, Alex. A mysterious mark on his skin just, you know, starts glowing when the monsters attack, and he shows some supernatural power while protecting Brianna. But he is a fragile and not at all ready for the responsibility of being the hero the world needs him to be. He is madly in love with Brianna, but she does not feel the same way. Yet at some point, she knows if she abandons Alex now, he will never overcome the burden of his responsibility and never become a hero. So instead of having a comfortable life a few villages away, she tags along. She tries to love him back, but she sees him more as a brother than as a partner. But after some dramatic event, when it comes for their relationship to be more intimate, she makes a choice to be there for Alex because she knows that her rejection would break him and again, the world would lose a hero. And as Alex rises to be the hero, she's there every step of the way. She's actually the reason Alex keeps on rising because without her, he would just abandon his heritage and just leave the world to its fate. So Brianna becomes this Varioress alongside a man whose feelings she cannot reciprocate. She becomes his right hand, his general. More than that, she is the sole reason they actually do have an army, let's say, since Alex is somewhat socially awkward, and when it comes to setting up a deal with, let's say, a king, to take control of the king's armies to defeat the evil, Alex can't strike a deal, can't really talk to the king, but Brianna can, and she handles it way better. Everyone sees Alex as this big hero, but he is just a scared boy who only follows the path of the fate because it is something that Brianna kind of told him to do. Brianna is the true hero of the story. Without her support and a huge sacrifice, basically sacrificing her dreams and her comfortable life, there would be no Alex the hero to save the world. Now that is a story, and instead of yet another Zero to Hero saga, you'll end up with a powerful, epic, yet very intimate story of Brianna, the girl who can live her life because she has to live the life of the wife of the great hero to save the world. I'd read the hell out of that. Actually, if I felt confident I could, you know, believably capture the woman's psyche in this particular situation, I would write that. The second issue, for those who haven't lost track, with making your character somewhat random or just creating your hero kind of separate from the story, is their place in the story. So let's say a skill set of the main character. Same as with Indiana Jones on board Apollo 13, these main characters just don't fit. And it begs the questions like, why is the main character an archaeologist if they barely use their skill of archaeologing to advance the plot at all? I've better read a story recently with the main character being a techie, you know, a tech nut. Building drones, fixing computers, stuff like that. Yet at the end of a story, he defeated the main baddie with pistols and swords. Why? Why couldn't the character actually use stuff that makes him unique? Why was this character forced into the mold of a common superhero action figure instead? Because the character didn't fit the story properly, that's why. The main character should be unique in some way if it is to be the main character of the story. And I don't necessarily mean exceptional in this or that. Think of Forrest Gump. I mean, he could run exceptionally, okay. But what actually made him unique was his good heart, his childlike naivete in a confused and violent world around him. The same should be true for your main character. If Alex, for example, is facing off against ancient evil as a warrior, there should be some warrior spirit to him, or maybe a lack thereof, that he needs to overcome. If the main character is unique in being a techie, it kind of makes sense that he should face off the main baddie in somewhat techie way. True, there's a lot you can do with turning this kind of upside down, but why make your character a techie in the first place if it's not important for the story? Main character does not have to be the one to succeed. It has to be the only character in your story that can succeed as a protagonist of your story. The real question is, why this particular character? And the story and the place of the main character in this story should be the answer. You can make ancient prophecies all you want. It will not truly make your character the main character. The story, their circumstances, the character's personality and mindset is what makes it the one. Okay, so let's say the ancient evil that Alex struggles with requires the best swordsman to be defeated. So in this world, isn't there any better swordsman than a boy that grew up on a farm? Really? But maybe what is truly needed to defeat the evil is empathy and modesty. A farm boy taking care of animals and being raised as an orphan in Forgotten Village would be much more likely to have these qualities than, let's say, a knight's son raised from birth to be the finest swordsman in the land. You know, the son would have an amazing skill with the sword, but there would be likely much less empathy in his psyche. I mean, this is something that is made painfully obvious in the movies and, you know, such. You have a knowledgeable main character, so obviously they will win over the baddie with some knowledge they use. It doesn't have to be that obvious, but at the same time, you kinda need every aspect of your character to have some sort of, you know, a reason to be in this story. You want your main character to be the one in the sense that nobody else but them would make the choices and do the actions that actually defeat the main baddie of your story. The very last issue that makes your main character pop is sympathy. I don't mean readers, but yours, the writer's sympathy towards your main character. And I don't mean attraction. I have seen plenty of aspiring texts with the main character being basically just a wet dream of the writer. And I get it, the teenage boy with no muscle tension and, you know, constant worry that he might say something wrong in class and end up as a class joke, it's very likely to create a badass hero, you know, with the axe of badassness and the armor of badassness and the shades of being cool no matter the situation. And yeah, trust me, I speak from my own experience. Don't get me wrong, there is nothing wrong with daydreaming in your text, using qualities you can just hope to possess. Just think of James Bond, you know, successful as hell character that is just super ideal, always perfectly dressed, always knowing what to say and what to do. But there is a lot that can go wrong, you know, with succumbing to daydreaming when creating the perfect main character. It can easily come off as artificial and boring, yet at the same time, it can be maybe just what you actually need for your story. Simply put, there has to be a connection between the writer and the main character. Not just attraction and not just sympathy. It really has to be a bit of both. To make your character true and real, you kinda have to love them in a way. Even when they're a bad guy, you know, an anti-hero. Love to hate them, or, you know, something like that. Your readers can really tell the difference if there's no connection between you and your main character. Think about it this way. You don't just sort of marry the random person you meet in the street. There needs to be sympathy, chemistry for the relationship to actually work. It pretty much goes the same way for you and your main character. There needs to be some sort of connection for the character to be the main character. You are going to spend a lot of time with this particular character, so, you know, a connection is really needed. If you pick your character at random, if you don't sort of put a bit of your soul into it, it will always be just a character. I see it all the time with texts of aspiring authors. The main character fits their idea of what the character should be in fantasy or sci-fi saga. A lot of female aspiring authors would choose Alex over Brianna as their main character, even though Brianna has much more in common with them as a person. And I don't necessarily mean gender, I don't mean to sound sexist in any way, but a lot of first-time fantasy or sci-fi novels do start with authors amidst the struggles of puberty. The differences between genders at that age are pretty huge. You know, and it really shows in the text of these writers. But let's not focus on gender, but rather on the mindset of such aspiring writers. there is, you know, without any sort of deep generalization, a better chance that a teenage girl would have more experience with friend zone type relationships when they just can't reciprocate the feelings of a boy just madly in love with them, or being known as someone's girlfriend instead of being their own person, or fulfilling somebody else's dream instead of their own. This is still a very woman thing. My parents wanted me to be a ballerina, so I attended ballet classes until I was 18. I always wanted to be a judo fighter, but they deemed it unladylike. I mean, what the hell? But still, these writers choose Alex as their main character a lot of times because it is somewhat more of a fantasy sci-fi hero type. How can there be any true sympathy and any true connection between writer and the main character if the character is Alex, you know, being Alex, and the main character is living as a teenage girl in today's society, which is still pretty sexist in its way. So don't worry about what fits the idea of a fantasy or sci-fi hero. Just, you know, be true to yourself with your character. It would be much more genuine, much more believable, and ultimately much more original. Good luck with your writing, and hopefully you were at least a little bit inspired. Thank you for listening.